Good evening. Good evening. This is Nancy, and I'm so tickled to have you join tonight again. And the music in the background by Deconian Music on my website, nancymatt.com. You can see, there it is. We have a little trouble with the screen, gentlemen, and the behind the scenes. Anyway, tonight is another, and I can't seem to turn it off. Hold on a minute, everybody. It's just a blast into your ear. Sandy's listening. We have a little problem with music. Okay, so we're going to turn it down and see what happens here. Anyway, gentlemen, I'm trying again to turn it off. And anyway, tonight is the second half of a requested show. We did Possession a couple of weeks back, and I actually had a couple of emails from people interested in my continuing the conversation. Now, one person, someone had written me an email telling me of a story of theirs. This is not this individual. These are two individuals who had written prior to someone from the audience writing me. And this is back east, and there seemed to be a neighborhood where this person had lived, and they wanted me to talk more about Possession. I hope they're listening. I'm inviting everybody to kind of come closer to the computer tonight, because I'm going to be talking about something that could be uncomfortable. Now, the thrust of my show is survival after cancer, and after we pass away, it's a survival. And my search began because my interest is survival because I've had cancer. Now, I'm going to take it a little further than that. I've talked about some very interesting topics of soulmates and survival, what it looks like, and ghosts. This is a topic that came up because all along with the idea of soul survival and the possibility that we can get stuck and become ghosts, there are some individuals who pass over to spirit and want to take it one more step. The fearfulness of us not surviving death is the same as a spirit person fearful of not surviving life because of a situation in their life as a flesh person that they never recovered. And it could have been grief, it could have been addiction, it could have been trauma, it could have been just addicted to life and not wanting to pass over to spirit. And when we do pass over, our family is there to greet us and welcome us. And once in a while, it doesn't appear to be very often, there are people that won't even acknowledge them and will turn their backs to them. And I make reference to ghosts that are stuck as those who have lost their memory and possessed spirits that want to be what we call in a search of a human being as to possess him are not only those spirits who have lost memory but turned their back on those welcoming spirits to take them to spirit land. And also the yearning is so overwhelming, they almost become more than addictive to life. They become addictive to who they are, and they won't surrender. It takes a long time for these people to be talked into going to spirit land by their spirit people. And if that doesn't happen, then it's us up to the living, if we can acknowledge it and find it. And if you feel like you may have it, don't panic in your seat there tonight. A lot of what I'll be talking about happens to a lot of us. It's the combinations, and those are what we are more concerned about. This is a topic that I kind of turned my back on and didn't want to address it because there's so much that's going on in our lives. Just today, yesterday, the day before, I've had so many young people with strife in their marriages, strife in making their economic levels tolerable now because of the economy so bad. And there's a lot going on. And the last thing they want to think about is if they're possessed. And most of the time they are not. Like I said, in my psychic eye, when I tune into people, if they say, well, look at my health, and I'm not a doctor, not just a diagnosis, but because I work with my energy force and I blend with people, it can be shown to me areas that are kind of like more energy than not. So then I'll go into the body at that point, and I can see damage. That's different than seeing the ball of what we call possession. If I were to say to you, do me a favor and just relax, and if I said to you, allow me to just wrap my energy around you and feel what you're about. And it's not like an intrusion. What it is I gently touch your life force. and I'm moving it from me to you. If I said to you, now I want you to think about somebody that you care about, and you can move your life force from me, from you to that person. Well, with a possession, if I go and wrap myself around you, the first indicator would not be to look for another entity on you. And then someone will say, so look at my health then, and then I wrap my life force around you, not to enter your time at the base of your neck, but possibly the entire body. And it's very, very tiring. That's why I only do a few sessions a day. Most of my day is taken up with so many other things. Most people will be surprised, paperwork and computer work and follow-up questions and seeing how people are doing out in the real world. That's the last thing I sometimes will look at because of all the other things that seem to take precedent over us every day. The last thing I would look at would be possession. There's a wonderful book out there that I mentioned, I think one of my very first shows. It's a small book, and I did find it. I do believe I found it on Amazon. It's called The Boy Who Saw True, and it was written 50 years ago by a young man, probably 60 years ago by a young man, who was able to witness health issues on a person, and he called them crabs. And I said, oh, I identify with that. And how I see illness on a body, even at a lower level, it looks like a billow of energy, probably about 3 inches, but I see little arms on it, kind of like hooking into an area. And that's you putting life force to an area that's injured or damaged. Now, when we see a possession of somebody, if someone says, I have this, 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 then I have to back off and go, wow, okay, I'm going to turn my psychic eye on just a little different, and I'm going to move away from the body. And then I'm going to look at it, and I have to see the whole body. And it makes me see of a ball, and sometimes they're elongated. It makes me think of a smaller size of a basketball. And the object, and I'm thinking of one that was just recently told to look at, this young man who had a shape like that at the base of his neck. Now, to me, that's more than 4, 5, 6 times than I would call the crab or the energy that's surrounding an area that's been damaged. Now, I know that there is people going in into chat room, and if you don't mind right at the moment, I can't read it and talk at the same time. So be patient. We have a little longer show tonight, and I would like to talk about this, and I encourage you to call me. I've learned how to do the switchboard, and I think that's very exciting, and we'll kind of put us all together. Now, like I said, for those who are tuning into the show right now, this is a very delicate topic tonight. I was requested by a couple people. One is, like I said, a gentleman back east who lived in an older neighborhood. He was very concerned with the house that he lived in. He wanted to know if, while living there, was he a victim of someone possessing him. And at first I thought, oh, I don't think so, because I saw a grandmother, and he was able to describe this woman around him. But he said, I want to take it further. But he was playing around the house onto the back, like I'm visualizing this now, this not necessarily row house, but there's space between, but the tall one. So he walked down the steps, he'd go into the, and he felt like the basement area, it was very, very uncomfortable. And I had to tell him that I didn't get it, but clearly he had memories of very uncomfortable times. And usually this, as a young person, a child, you're not necessarily going to just pick up a spirit person. So you have to have some kind of uncomfortable trauma happening, and that spirit has to want to join with you. There's a book that I had mentioned a couple weeks ago. One of them is The Unquiet Dead, and it's by Edith, and I'll spell that last name, F-I-O-R-E. Over the years, I have read so many books that I want to give credit to those I wouldn't mention, but one of them that I know Karen may be listening tonight, this is a generalization. And she kind of spent a lot of time looking at this this issue. And she was actually a doctor, and she had been a psychiatrist, psychology. And it took a long time for her also to come to the realization that along with our spirit people and along with what we would call the ghosts of the step, there's also a third category of spirit that can enter our life, and that would be the possession. And so there's people in the audience thinking, oh, my gosh, what is possession, and how is it that we became one, we would acquire one? And I do believe there's such a thing as a spirit that would possess a piece of furniture, possession of jewelry, a possession of a house, like in the movie The Others, they seem to want to stay. But there's that other category where if someone was in a very traumatic experience, say 20 years ago, and this individual has acquired this possession while in the most traumatic point of their life, and this individual not only be in discomfort in the body, but totally discomfort in the mind, and an unhealing would occur, meaning that no matter what this individual tried to accomplish in their life, whether it's an emotional state or not a physical, but maybe a runner or emotional state like a relationship or perhaps a new career, that they never could quite get to 100% how they were prior to this terrible event in their life. And Karen, and the reason I'm bringing up this of Karen's, it was so clear to me this is what's going on with this gentleman, hers. And 20 years ago, this gentleman had had his wife leave him, take the child very suddenly, and he came to such low depths of emotional state in his life that the vibration of his energy around his body called the aura got damaged. And only through emotional health can we really acquire physical health, because I do believe that two are very tied. So you can all relate to a time in your life when you have the most exhilarating moment that feeds or energy force, and you become almost healthier. It doesn't mean that you can have an unhealthy body, have an exhilarating moment like getting married, and you'll be balanced. It does help to have a pretty average to better health situation and always be exhilarated. That will bring your vibration up to a better level. So possession of any kind cannot happen. But let's reverse that. Let's say you have very, very healthy time in your life. You're going through a lot of stress, perhaps a bad relationship. And then something really, really traumatic happens, like all of a sudden, without warning, you have a parent that passes away, there's a terrible car accident, or that spouse of yours that you've been kind of like dealing with a lot, it's very, very traumatic. You go through this, and your vibration gets very low. Nowadays, we had very, very unfortunate tornado activity. We had the Gulf Coast in Louisiana, all the flooding that went on there. I mean, these people went through some terrible emotional states. Now, say along with that, they didn't get sleep, they didn't get proper eating, they're in turmoil, the marriages break up, the foreclosure of homes, the economy being what it is now. Clearly, we have to surrender and accept, not accept as in, I surrender and I'll take whatever's given back to me. We have to step back and say, okay, this is what's happening in our life. We have to kind of pull this book straps up and just grab onto life and say, no matter what's been given to me, I'm going to survive this. I'm not going to let my soul suffer. And so with that, that would keep your energy at a better level, but you also have to look at the health level. As hard as it would be with minimal eating or water, at least monitor that so it's even. If you have a low amount of food, let's monitor. Let's take care of every level of our body, because then if we do go to that level that we've never been to before, and you can catch me asleep, you say, no, I have to take care of my soul. I have to take care of my health. I have to take care of my emotionality. If you keep balance, that no matter how low a depth you can, nobody in the spirit world can attach you. Now, let's word that one more time. Say that Louisiana, you have people that are very spiritual. They're very good in their family, but emotionally, the husband or the wife gets to play saying, I don't know what to do. I'm such a discord because even though I go to church, I pray and pray and pray, even though my family life is well, I feel like a failure, so I'm going to drink. So it's off kilter. So you got to be really careful that we learn how to do a maintain of our life. And I'm just like you. I struggle with my life sometimes, and I can give counseling sessions, and I can back off and say, okay, now this is half my life. The last 3 weeks have been kind of like in discord. I was telling me, I said, my mother got ill. My husband's mother got ill. My mother got ill, and we were traveling. And then while I was gone, my husband's family situation turned for the worse. Now he's out of state again. So in some ways, when the pattern is thrown off, your health can be thrown off. And so flying in the plane, I came back and I went, oh, my gosh, did I get this in town? A little sniffle here. I need to keep and go to bed early and rest and keep up because I don't want any attachments. I want to be as clean and pure as I can be. So emotionally, I'm as healthy to take in what I need to process my life so we can go forward. So in the unquiet dead, I would like to speak of a couple of things, and clearly this will be hard for you to write down, but just something to think about. You can always go back and listen to the show again to write down some of these things that you would find interesting. Now, remember, this is a psychologist's way that she's really took a lot of years to investigate this, and Edith Fiore, F-I-O-R-E, clearly wrote this book, and she made quite a name for herself in the struggle of depossessing people. And clearly you could have help to do this, criminalization, that maybe this is what's going on in life. You can heal yourself, have people help you. But this is kind of a bigger step. You wouldn't want to think you are possession, you're really not. If you are, is it one or two souls that are attached to you? This is quite amazing. Okay, so I would like to go to the checklist. Now, remember, just take it lightheartedly. We're just talking about something that doesn't happen every time I talk to somebody. I don't want you to think, because I'm talking about it tonight, this is at the request of two people that would like more of my thoughts on it. Clearly, this is an area I would like to investigate more. I have done ghost hunting. I've been invited to be participant in a convention in California with ghost trackers. I'm involved with CaliforniaHaunts.org, and I do like it. In Tombstone, Arizona, that's my sister city to where I live, there's a lot of ghosts and things going on there. And people have asked me, gosh, Nancy, if you go there and you are trying to kind of feel it out, get an EVP, or trying to see if there's spirits there, are you trying to release them, or are you afraid you're going to take them home with you? Well, that's when we need to look at our spirit, our soul, and emotional level, is that I will envelop myself with a prayer or white light, or keep myself in an emotionally clean space and not own or associate myself with what could be there. I've learned to know who I am. I accepted myself, all of it, even the few pounds I've gained over the past few years from aging. I mean, everything. So when that spirit comes to me, whether they're looking for, can I attach to you, or soul that's lost, or get out of my space, or anything, I say, you know, I'm here to find if I can help you move on. I'm here to get more witness to the possibility of survival. So I'm not here to worry about if you're going to attach yourself to me. I go in with awe. I go in with inquisitiveness. And I feel like that should answer one of your questions out there that emailed me. Well, what do you do, Nancy? Do you go and are you worried you're going to bring somebody home with me? So keeping a lighted personality, I am such awe that this is possible, that we do survive, and this is proof over and over. So I go with an inquisitiveness of my adulthood and seeking truth. And there's that statement of the cancer and divorce, and now my search for soul survival. This is just one more step of being aware that possession could happen. So this is what Edith wrote in her book. Now, remember, that doesn't apply to all of you, but if you have over many, many years, this has continued, then you might want to look at it, give me a call, or seek out in your neighborhood or your area, somebody can help you. Extremely low energy level. Uncharacteristic shifts or mood swings. Well, ladies, you know what that, you know, once a month you go through that. The inner voice that is speaking to you. Now, when we speak of that, things like talking to yourself as in, calm down, stop it. You shouldn't feel that way. You have a lot to contribute. Meaning that someone's telling you what to do and what to say, or to be paranoid, or not to feel good about yourself. Versus, you know, I can sit here at this computer and I look at it and I go, oh, please, come up, don't switch me off. And so that's what I mean by that. It has to be a voice and a conversation that you are replying to that not necessarily do you like hearing. A sudden switch to substance abuse. Well, most of you may or may not know that people in the psychic realm, Arthur Ford, liked to drink. And he said that when he did drink and got more alcohol than normal, he would be able to switch to mediumship and have possession. Now, that's very rare. I don't know a lot of people who do drink. I'm virtually a teetotaler. And over the years, just because I don't drink, even to have a glass of wine, the family joke is, let's see what mom does with a glass of wine. You know, my son doesn't even offer me a glass of anything when I go to the house for dinner. It's just, I just don't drink. And I prefer not to. So for me to all of a sudden, for the family to see me just really every night take a drink, they would wonder. And that's what that means, a sudden onset of out-of-character substance abuse. Impulse to do things without thinking. And now listen, How many days have you had after work and you say, girls, let's go shopping? That's different than compulsive, go out and have thousands and thousands of dollars of shopping spree or buying extraordinary amount of jewelry or buy a very expensive car. The family would say, what? What is this about? I mean, over the edge, compulsive. Impossible to focus your attention, feeling like you're always in a fog. Well, after work on a long day, you try to do emails. Are you in a fog? This is different. This is when you wake up and you think you should be feeling better. This is a continual shake your head, kind of worried. Do you have dementia setting in? You cannot think clearly. People are saying and wondering, gee whiz, I called her and for about a week now. Every time I talk to this individual, there's clearly a problem. No concentration. Can't hear what I say. I have to repeat over and over. Seems to cry, seems to whimper, really distracted. Something like that fog. Anxiety or depression out of the blue. Well, this is another reference to myself. I am so sensitive that I can even feel the people in the audience listening to me sometimes. And one time I said, oh, my gosh, I did a radio show, and I said, I can see somebody sitting by the radio, and it's dark, and there's the man, and said, I can do that. Now, that's I can feel when someone's calling me or going to that they're really depressed. Not every time, but when the individual is a powerful soul individual, I can really get that. So what I'm talking about, say you're doing your life, and all of a sudden you start, now, ladies, I'm not talking hormonal. What I'm talking about is everyday life. And all of a sudden, you cannot stop from crying, or the anxiety, or you're running around screaming more than a manic depressive episode. I mean, you're over the edge. No one can be around you. You're afraid to even get a conversation started because you're going to go anxiety-ridden, over the edge, or start crying. Okay? Okay, they're talking about the South Beach Works. What's that? Oh, gain easily 30 pounds. I love it. I love you girls talking. Okay. Bring to home a spirit from the hospital. Now, this was a very interesting thought. What can you bring home from the hospital? Actually, a psychic friend of mine, I had a couple of hospital stays during the cancer surgeries. I actually had appendicitis attack. So unbeknownst to most people, I got sick with appendicitis on the heels of trying to get well from my cancer. Now, while that happened, I had a girlfriend say to me, you were really sick. And the girl second door down was dying, and she gave you something. It's like, well, I don't know about that. That's kind of like spirit possession. But what the book is making reference to is something minor. You come home from the hospital, meaning your life force, your aura field was very, very low from an illness, and all of a sudden you cannot get well. And then you have episode, you have appendicitis, you catch the flu, your tonsils, you get the measles. It's one horrific illness after another, and you don't seem to recover. Now, that's her definition. And of course, she made a little list, and because I read the book, and I made sure I read it again today, to help you understand the extremes that she's speaking to. Now, if you list all those, and then you take on most of them, now you can see why that would happen. Say you have anxiety and you're manic, not manic plus, but you give those, and then you start drinking too, and then you go out and start spending. Clearly there's something going on here. And then this little section here, I want to do it real fast, of depossession. Let's see for a minute. And she talks about, if I want to go on to the next one, and talk about protection. Now, there was a section in here on how to talk to somebody, help them heal, and I think that's too involved for here. What you want to do is I've given you the symptoms, but maybe I should have given you how to clean and clear yourself. So here's a list of things I would like to tell you to maintain so that you don't get to a place, if you recognize any of those symptoms. By doing what I'm saying next, can you depossession yourself, or will this be what you need to have reinforced into your life so this can be cleared away from you? Clearly, there's a lot to this. Use the white light protection, and that she recommends as often during the day, at least twice. Maintain, and this is what I addressed earlier, is the most positive attitude in your life possible, an emotional, spiritual, physical level. Abstain from drugs and alcohol. I can't address that. I think that they've come out with one glass of red wine a day is supposed to be good for you. I don't know about that. I think what she's talking about is extremes. Anytime you go to the hospital or any place where there's going to be sick and distressed individuals, car accident, traffic, by golly, some of you living in cities where getting to work is a hazardous moment. So while you're on traffic bumper to bumper, a lot of anxiety, maybe the white light should be a very good technique to protect yourself. So after surgery or hospitalization, start doing everything you can to protect yourself. Also, some of you are very spiritual and do pray, but I think we have to keep in our heads a constant, not every day, but whenever you think about it, I believe in working for the universe. Now, whatever religious affiliation you are part of, whether you speak to God or one of the others, Buddha, whatever, I think that people ask with me, Nancy, when you blame with somebody, do you take their energy on? Do you take their depression on? And I say, I am an instrument to help people emotionally heal from whatever situation it is, and I will allow that. So I will not take on what is not mine. And I believe that I work for the universe of the guy. No, I don't have a God. I don't believe I'm any above anybody else. I just have a gift, and I want to share it, and I want to work with you, and that's why I do readings. So I keep that and maintain that thought in my mind. In my first book, Two Worlds, and by the way, I should have mentioned my website is nancymatz.com. I have six total. Nancymatz.com on the right-hand side going down is three that I've recently opened up. And then further down page is two more. So if you want to go explore, it would be fun if you want and see those websites. I do have listed on the first book, Two Worlds. And there's a prayer in there that Spirit gave to me very early when I started doing readings. And they said, this prayer encompasses all. Well, who am I to get the prayer that encompasses all? But they gave it to me. Maybe they realize that one of these days I'll be able to reach a lot of people. And it is, I am of the highest vibration, the purest of mind and the purest of soul. I am a child of light and a child of God. Nothing can hurt me unless I believe it's soul. So, and what that means is if you believe and trust the universe and you are of God and of light, which is very interesting because when I received that, I wasn't aware what light meant, which means vibration, then you are protected. And I really believe that if you say that every so often and I repeat that and I believe in that, I think that keeps my vibration very high. Well, I've talked kind of quickly on this, and even though we have a little bit more time tonight, I'd want to give you an overview that this is not something to be fearful of, to watch tendencies in your life that feel uncomfortable. And if you get to a place where you're worried or there is a people around you that you're concerned about, that we need to investigate the possibilities. I feel at times that as I've grown as a mature person and I've been in the business this long and reflect back to even my childhood, that the metaphysical world, and that's kind of a broad-based word for all the things that's possible, that once you take knowledge in your mind and you say, it's amazing to think, I read auras and energy fields, health conditions, past, present, future, past lives, future lives, an endless myriad of things I can talk to people about, even the possibility that their children yet to be born and what they're going to look like. It's amazing to me that if we can accept survival, and I can see spirit people around those who, like in the last few shows, people ask who's in their life, who's their next love. And if I can get that, it's amazing alone. But what if we could go one step further and say, in our spirit world, these things are possible. I have an individual who's inquired about, and this is a young lady who talked to me about her two sons, and if she's listening tonight, hello, about her children who see shadows, solid shadows in the room, and one little boy won't even sleep in his room. And I said, my gosh, allow him to be special, to be gifted. That's not just spirit people that child seen, but what we would call shadow land people. So they're called shadow people. And this was a new concept given to me by, I believe, Art Bell and then George Norrie on Coast to Coast AM. radio.com, and they have a radio show that's fabulous. And so a brand new concept was given to me that we can see into alternate parallel universes those who are gifted with that gift. Now, I don't see those people, but this child of 6 or 7 does, which is, why not? Why can't we? And when we accept that and we allow that to be part of our conscious thought, that there's more to the universe than our 4 dimensions that we live in, that opens it up that we should have a more rich life. Why not? And be amused by life and love everything that's been brought to us. Now, I didn't say everything because I've had a couple of interesting months, but look back in retrospect and say, okay, this is what I learned. This was the lesson, and be okay with that. Even if you have spirit possession, say, okay, now I'm done with that. And you change your vibration and you get emotionally healthier and you accept, but then you don't allow. That individual cannot be part of you because now you don't resonate in a vibration of which you were saying as the same. And so I do believe they can be moved away. Now, before I get on to answering questions from you ladies and gentlemen from the audience, I would like to say one more thing. As with possessions that can take us to an emotional state that would be unhealthy, to take our body to a place of being unhealthy, there's also what we call negative attachments. We're talking of some level, and this is a new concept you may have never heard before, is psychic vampirism. And these are individuals that cord, C-O-R-D, not is as in, I want to blend with you to love you, I want to blend with you to see your history or your future, but blend with you because I don't like you and I need to take from you and I need to punish you. And this is another form of possession, but by a living person. And so when I speak to people, I say a loving cord of love around you, or there's a cord of a lover around you. There also could be a cord of a negative ex-lover or a person who's done you harm or done you damage by your family. We do have to talk of that, and that's a totally different process. But oftentimes, I can see this as a smoky or gray or dark energy, and it could tap into you at any place. That's a different but similar process, raising your vibration, forgiving them. I've actually told my ladies to remove them. How? And it's amazing. I've done this a few times. Recently, I had a lady who had injury in her body. There was a place, and she didn't tell me. I said, this man has attached himself to the right side of your rib cage, but the lower rib cage. And she says, I'm amazed that you know that because I've had a pain there and it's been constant. And I told her how to remove it. And she called me back and said, I can't believe I feel wonderful. And so I was saying to her, it looks like a braided cord. It's heavy and it's attached to your body. And this individual who has negative thoughts of you is attached and is causing you discomfort and pain. That's not a deceased person. That is a loving, that's a living person who once loved, now is negative. Totally different topic. If you're interested in my talking about living person to living person attachment, what it looks like for a loving situation, a work situation, unangry or a malevolent psychic vampirism, that would be a totally new show. If you want me to go there, do bring it up, email me, or bring it up in the chat room, but make sure I see the note, okay? So it's about half hour into the show, and I would love if you'd like to call in and ask me something. It's up to you. Of course, I would love to hear anything in regard to this. I imagine some of the questions could be very powerful. I would like maybe a minute of a question, or if a chat room, if I can read it. In fact, I better pull it closer so I can see. I think Tully's now getting in here. And she's marvelous. I'm so amazed how wonderful these radio shows are. There's a gal in here who is writing from Canada. And then we had a gal from Florida call last time. Seattle called for a session. One of the gals from up there had heard me on the radio. So it's very fun. I'm from Northern California, and I have friends there tonight who are listening to the show. So it's very exciting. I welcome everybody to come on board. I'm almost dangerous. I've actually had a cup of coffee, and I'm ready to go. I do like to say one more thing. When you ask your questions, now remember, if you ask something, I will answer. So be clear that you want everybody to hear your answer. So if you need to make it generic or however you want to ask, but I do encourage you to come and start asking me questions. I want to kind of go up here. What measures the 1,000 vibration? Maybe we better skip off that just a little bit. I think you girls are gentlemen put in a conversation there. I'm not sure. Clearly, there's a vibration level that all of us have. And sometimes I'll say to people in a group, have you ever met somebody that tells you everything is lighthearted and is very energetic, kind of like a soft cotton ball? And then there's people you've known who are very heavy, like a walnut shell. So there's so many different vibrations. Those people that we have to institutionalize or in drug alcohol programs to recover, their vibrational levels can be very, very low. As far as 1,000 vibrational, spirit people say that, this is very interesting, you might enjoy this. Around the Middle Ages, we started putting halo in our paintings around our angels and around our spiritual people, our icons. And my theory of that is those who paint those pictures, there might have been a very intuitive person, not knowing to call it psychic. Spirit people share with me, and you might want to look at this, that the higher the vibration of that spirit person, maybe up to the God figure, their aura around their body is heavier, bigger. And those of a lower level coming to us, the aura is smaller. And I went, I don't understand that. And they said they come up from such a high vibrational level for them to break through all the levels coming down to ours. It's almost like come through one vibrational step at a time. By the time they're able to get to where we are so we can see them, their aura, energy field, that aura is immense. So it's interesting that a spirit level of a God figure or an angel level that would be shown to you would be immense. So clearly that vibration level as high as you could possibly make it. Is that 1,000? Who knows? But in your paintings of the icons, like in the churches, the aura is gold and it's huge around our spiritual people. That's because they come and were shown to the painter or whoever tried to describe it as immense. That's because of their level of spiritual attainment. The aura around them was immense. Do we know what vibration we're in? Well, that's an interesting question. I feel like maybe we don't always know, but if clearly you're healthy of mind and you're emotionally healthy, you're physically healthy, Holly, can you hear me? Hello. I hope that you can hear me now. Tully, let me know if you can hear me. Tully, can you hear me? Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, can you hear me? I'm typing this into the chat room. Oh, how about that? So what's happened is I've come in on the switchboard as caller number one. I'm going to have to make sure that I'll write this in while you ladies and gentlemen try to listen to the show next week, and I'll put a little note that there's about a five-minute delay, and I'll get hold of the switchboard and let them know that we happen to have another problem. So if you can, why don't you start asking me those questions? Tully, I know there's five or six of you users on here. I don't know if you can. Go ahead and start asking me questions. Glad you made it in. Thank you very much, Tully. My goodness, what a... Now, see, we're kind of wondering what's going on in the universe, but I know that we're not always having good weather across the nation. I feel like that could be part of it. So I'm looking up the questions, see if I can answer some of these that... So we have Karen. I can't hear Nancy. I have a server error message. So even Karen has been trying to get on. Then they've got a couple more people in here. I have lessons. I had a reading that said I have something feeding off of my body. Do you see anything? You know, I'm going to keep going down here so I can see an answer, talk to you, and let's hope I can still continue to be on the air. I'm amazed that the switchboard is showing both of our numbers, and I did try to get in. And Adam, if you're listening, this may be something we need to look at. But anyhow, so get on with the topic of tonight. It's a very interesting that Karen and I will be looking into, helping you out there. Oh, here we go, Karen. Here's a link for a book on vibration. Oh, and if you have the chat room, go ahead and look. I'm not able to see it. But in some ways, when you think about how I do my job, is it my vibration or my etheric or area, energy around my body that does the reading? I think that I have, and people have said to me, I have a large energy field. And I might contribute that to having had been an athlete for many, many years. And so I have a large energy field. Vibrationally, I feel I'm an emotionally healthy person. So vibrationally, my emotional state and my physical state, even though I'm a little older now, is quite strong. I'm going to type a little note to Karen. Can you hear me now? Just to keep confirming that I'm on the line. Can you hear me? There you are. And so we have the six users on there, and I'm so glad we at least have the people. Oh, they are hearing me. Okay, I'd like to keep talking. Somebody had asked me, is it possible, and this is a very amazing question, can we have a spirit attachment of an animal? I was quite amazed. Hadn't come to that thought before. Now, if it's possible that humans can attach to us, if I cannot see who they are, how would I know if it was an animal or not? I mean, we could open the door to very upsetting. We want to think of our cats and dogs, the love mates in our life, and there's sparrows and there's guppies out there. And I, when I was raising children, they had hermit crabs and we had rabbits. I wouldn't know. Someone said that they felt there had been an animal in their energy. Another one asked me a question once, is it possible that people in another dimensional field could blend with us and be part of this? Now we're talking a totally different topic, something we can talk about in the future, is transfigurations. I particularly don't like to do that, and that's because that's not a possession like on my outside of my body, but in my body. Oh, here's some questions. Have you ever seen a spirit around someone from a past life? No, I haven't. I kind of deal with people today. When I read somebody, I'm part of who they are this moment. When I'm giving flashes of past life, I'm witnessing as though watching a movie, not necessarily looking for energy or a field around them. Okay, so Karen answered that one. An animal attachment. So Karen also has never seen an animal attachment. I have a question from White Lotus Star. I am positive I met my twin. His name is, do you see what is ahead of us for us in 2008? I don't know if you're dating or not, but they show me he had turbulence in his life of fixing things that need to be around him, like an in and an out situation. Can he focus his mind? Can he relax his mind? Can he focus on a relationship and give you all that you need? I'm not sure until late summer into fall. So take your time with this individual and see what happens. He wants to be happy, but there's a turbulence in his life. Oh, we have a numerologist in the audience, 111, the start of a new beginning. I'm not into numerology, astrology, but I would like to share with you, and this is getting off topic tonight, but remember, I'll answer anything you ask me. I'm not into those arts. That's because what I do is what you expect me to do is blend. So by knowing those and using that into a reading, I don't think it's fair to you. But I am surprised that I do see patterns and I do see numbers. I'll ask that in a minute, Telly. I have a friend, she's passed away, and she taught me how to read a regular deck of cards. And like a club of seven or something would represent, in her mind, a man. And I've gotten to a place where I don't even have to think about it. If I put a card out and I'm just sitting talking to someone, I will actually get something from it. And that's because my unconscious mind remembers what that represents, and it's a way of asking your spirit or soul something. So there's all kinds of ways to do reading. I do a blending, but there is something to numerology. Astrology, I don't study it, but there is something to do with numbers and patterns in our life. This is a gal who's written in, I had a reading that said I had something feeding off my etheric body. Do you see anything? She said it was around my heel. Wow, your heel. You know, I love that book, Louise Hayes. She said when you had a body injury or something happened to you, like bumping your knee or hurting your foot, that you want to walk forward. I don't know about that, but it sure made interesting reading. And she has put more books out. Karen, I think we've talked about this before, if you don't mind writing it. Louise Hay, and I don't remember what the book was called. And I want to get back to the woman who said, see anything wrong with her heel. The reader that might have said that to you before might have seen energy around it. I was surprised once I did a reading on somebody, and I saw an energy ball that was a healing spot or injury spot. And the individual said, well, I don't have anything there but I had an injury there 10 years ago. So it could be that this is an old injury, re-injured, even a bump on it, and your body has pulled your life force, energy, aura from other parts of your body and accumulated it around heel. And the book, The Boy Who Saw True, saw as crab, small crab-looking things, not as an animal, but that gesture of clinging on to a spot that needs energy healing. So I didn't think I'm seeing what I would call an old injury there on the outside of your foot. And someone's asking back, yes, but that maybe feeling of sucking your life force from you, I may want to answer that later on you, okay? and then someone has said, Paula, did you have surgery or maybe an injury in regard to that area? And Kelly's saying, Sybil says, yes, Nancy's right on. But Kelly says, but there is no injury there. Be careful because I'm seeing not the bone, but possibly the padding around the bottom, not the bottom, but the edge going up the back of the foot. So there is that or could have been something there that long time ago. I don't know if I'm reading something for later in the future, which I did once. I saw an injury to a woman's foot. And I says, if you can, stop wearing the heels because I see an injury there. And she says, oh, no, no. Well, she got a job in a hospital where she's running up and down stairs. And she called me back 3-4 months later. She says, you won't believe this, but my foot is killing me. I'm walking up and down stairs, and I've hurt the arch. And when I hurt my foot running up and down stairs in the hospital, I immediately thought of you, but you saw a future injury. Okay, so Karen says, oops, let me stand corrected. Sagan, S-A-G-A-N, is also another researcher that I did not make reference to. Now, he wrote a book on possessions. So the audience, if this is the first time you've listened to this show, the other show, Possession, I do mention this individual. And if Karen will write that down, I don't have the book in front of me, I'll tell the audience what it is. It's a researcher down there who has released animals and they're wild in nature, not domestic. I'm not sure what she's talking about there. But I don't believe a lion who's been on African plains becomes a spirit animal, will attack flesh people and then become a possessed spirit. I'm not sure they would get to the depths of despair to want to attack and be invisible mentally onto a person. So remember, our emotional state has to be so deep as to become what I would call a ghost with no memories, but only the desire to have that back. And all that they are is encompassing and obsessed with that desire. So we lose our mental strength, and we get an addictive state, and we lose our memories of our life. So when I think of an animal doing a possession against a human being, they would have to get to that lowest and the depth of despair. Kind of hard to get that. Okay, they're still talking about the foot injury. She had injury in her knees, but that's not the foot area. That would not be the same thing. These are different areas. Okay, keep talking. I love to see the repertoire going between the people in the chat room. As I said before, this is an amazing process. And I may encourage someone to go ahead and do the chat room for the questions tonight. Since the switchboard shows that I am a host, I'm still in, I had to come in on the first line. So I would probably have to switch off my line to be able to answer another line. I'm not sure that that's going to happen. Clearly, after the show's over, I will get hold of Adam and let him know that we had trouble and that I was switched off for about 5 minutes. And just before it happened, you talked about the emotionally sound tonight. I had the sound of a fax machine go into my headset here and then knock me off. And I looked over and clearly my phone was telling me that I had been cut off. So it's a very interesting problem here. Okay, let's scroll down. Nancy, do I have a totem, Adam? A T-O-T-E-M. I have an Indian background, and I do look like the grandmother and great-grandmother who has clearly Indian visuals on them. My son takes after me, and my daughter takes after her father. My son looks Indian. He embraced Indian culture, and he had the totem put on as a tattoo. It's a very beautiful tattoo, and his strength and belief in spiritual wisdom coming from believing that we have animals as our guides and our protectors. Now, spirit people say, oh, I'm going to be your protector. I'm going to be in your life. But we may want the strength and commitment of an animal. And we can ask and create an energy being that can be our protector. Now, a lot of times when you talk of men as protectors, I'm going to get to a point, this is really funny. When I talk to people, they will show me the strength or the agility or the wisdom of an animal to be their totem, meaning they coexist with us, whether it's an animal that you've called, and I'm not sure how that mental state of the animal would know what your desire is other than to be your companion, or do we create as, have you ever heard of elementals or fairies? Elementals and fairies, I believe, are instantaneously thought created by angels. And they coexist with us on our planet, or are beings that are of the earth. We often will make reference to Mother Earth as being alive. Are they created because of extra energy? I don't know. But they're very spontaneous. So I've touched on what we call elemental or fairy, for another lack of another word for them. I find their thought process is instantaneous from thought to thought, but not as in a conversation and then carried out an hour later. They're instantaneous. So when you think of an animal, that's how I feel they are. They think instantaneously. So you would have to reinforce that. So it's almost like I believe it's an energy being that we create that represents like a bear, the strength of a bear, the agility of a gazelle, or perhaps the wisdom of an owl. I had, believe it or not, like a chameleon kind of an animal. And it represented to me when I first saw it, I was expecting something glamorous, and I come up with something that looked like a lizard laying on the rock. Well, I am a sun person. I like to be warm. But I think what it meant to me was all the different sides of my personality that allows me to be who I am, and that by moving from a rock to sand to a tree to a leaf, I take on different aspects of who I am. I'm a woman. I'm a mother. I'm an entertainer. I'm a reader. I'm a writer. I do so many things that the idea that I could create a totem of being a chameleon was very amusing but very telling. So I do believe that we have totems, and I believe spiritual people can see them, psychic people see them, and that's because you've desired to have that in your life. Samuel Sagan's book is entitled Entity Possession, Freeing the Body of Negative Influences. I've read part of his book. He's a little bit more strong and direct, not necessarily radical, but everybody who writes a book about these issues comes in with a strength and a power of conviction. Like I said, this is something that I didn't want to embrace initially, but I feel like now that I've learned that it's okay to really deal with that because I can deal with other things, it's something to look at. And Karen, who's being shown here as Karen, a hypnotist, she will be on my show in a couple of weeks. We're going to give a little bit more in depth to this process. When I first saw the series, I had written down a calendar of those programs I would like to present. And I had these couple of people email me, and I thought I would bring this on. And it was interesting to me that in this time frame, Karen got hold of me to ask me about a gentleman she was having, not issues with, but he brought to her table and her expertise something that was beyond believability. So we dealt with that. And now I see that the universe is kind of directing this conversation of not just soul survival, but soul possessiveness. And so we will talk about this in a couple of weeks. And I feel like she'll come in, if the switchboard will allow me, and we'll have her as a guest so that you'll hear her voice and understand from that direction how important this is. And we're going to team up and do it as a pair. Whether we do it remotely, you see her in Sacramento, California, or we do it by phone, if you do want our expertise on this area to get hold of both of us, we'd love to deal with you if you want some more information or a session. Oh, Karen, so fun. She says, I had wanted a glorious totem. Remember I said perhaps my chat room now has been disconnected and it will be coming back on hopefully in a minute. She said she actually was given a mouse. Now, I appreciate that mouse, but I'm not sure if mouse is still with me. Industrious, not bad. Now, clearly, for a mouse to survive, it has to be quite intelligent. It has to be cunning. It has to be quick on feet. It has to have those enormous ears to be attuned to everything in the universe. So even though she got a mouse and I got a chameleon, it did not represent importance. It represented diversity. So those of you, and I have a gentleman in the Bay Area that name is Steve. I think he's still that, or I think maybe he moved to Napa. But anyway, he believed in totems very much, and he and his wife had created a whole business around reading somebody and bringing forth a totem so that it would embrace a personality and their goals in life. My mind is escaping. His name is Steve. It was a big, burly guy, dark hair with a mustache. It's a lovely wife who was very blonde, and they had a whole reading presentation of bringing in a totem to help you heal emotionally. So it was very interesting. White Star says, a mouse also represents a rat. Rats get things done. I was born in the year of the rat. And at first I was kind of like, oh, is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? But in the Chinese culture, it's not a bad thing. Everything that's represented in the Chinese culture represents ingenious. So a rat to have survived the caveman times or the dinosaur times, I'm quite flattered that it's been able to survive and be very intelligent. So mouse or rat would probably come in the same category. We are on the Earth rat year. That's correct. That's when things get done. 1948 was the last time, and this is the year of the rat. We've had many rat years since then, but And so White Star said 1948. That was also Year of the Rat. Sybil, I think I missed your question. What was the last Earth year, rat year? I think it's a, now, clearly, is it a 12-year or 20-year cycle? I apologize. I'm not up on the Chinese calendar. I think it's a 12-month, 12-year thing. So White Lotus Star, I apologize. I'm not quite sure. So if someone in the audience would write that in the chat room, I'd be glad to tell people who are listening to this but not clicked into the chat room. Karen says, yes, I grew to love mouse, and now I think of mouse as glamorous. Oh, White Star said once every 60 years. I'm not sure about that. Is that right? Well, if she is, then so be it. Clearly, then once every 60 years. I think it's more than that, because I hear people say they would like a child to be born in their culture in a certain year. And if only people would aim for every 60 years, we wouldn't have anybody in the population over there. So there's different kinds of rats. Like I said, I'm not familiar with that. Sybil says, my question was about my new spirit guide. I am not sure who this is. Can you see into this for me? Oh, this is a wonderful question, Sybil. People have said to me, Nancy, in this lifetime, who am I? My personality, I have changed, And clearly, people who knew me as an engineering supervisor for Pacific Bell would say of me today, I'm a totally different individual. So I believe we are accumulation of maybe 10 or more personality types from past lives. And during those past lives, those spirit people with us at that time might also be our spirit guide during the personality that we are experiencing at the time those people are there. So the man I saw for you, Sybil, was what I call a man 55 to 65, as men fill out in middle life, as a barrel with a belt. He has old-fashioned clothes on, not like a dandy, but someone who would be better dressed, maybe around the turn of the century. He wants me to think that he had ridden a bicycle with a big wheel on it when he was in his youth, probably the late 1800s, a very caring, a sweet-sounding man, around 5'8", and balding, with a cute derby kind of a hat on him. Now, I'm not sure who that is, but that's one of the spirit peoples that are around you right now. Now, we have many different kinds of spirit peoples. We have spirit family. We have those spirits that come to us because they had loved us or loved our family. And then we have what we call the never-been-born, the angel levels. The one I'm looking at, I believe, is a spirit person that was family from a different life. This person has come forth, and you've ever met a man that is not of the strongest male image, but a sweeter, gentler man. And this man is very kind and sweet around you. So if you can relax to that and see if you can get a name or find what relation this was to you in that life, that will help you. Okay, so we're talking about the rat year. It's quite complicated. I know, and then Sybil says, I know all my guides, but not this one. This is what I'm seeing right now. Like the belt is tight, so the flesh around it, the brown. I feel like there's plaid. There's the shoe with the, in the olden days, men used to wear slaps, I think they're called, the white snap that goes underneath the shoe. I don't even know. I just see pictures. Okay, thank you. That is what I got also. Oh, you do get it. Okay. He smells like roses for some reason. Like I said, maybe he loved you in a past life. I don't know the role. Maybe you were a child or his wife or someone very important to him. I see pictures very well. Spirit people like to impress upon me how they look. Because I have been an artist, I haven't drawn for quite a while, I look at detail very clearly. I've done it for so long that people said they can actually find pictures of people I describe. Nancy, do you see a wolf around me as a totem animal? Actually, when you said that, I'm not sure what wolves look like, but the one I'm seeing around you has white or silver fur on him. So it's not of a dark animal, but of a lighter one. Oh, Sybil, the man you see around you, you asked for a name, he came up with Michael. Great. So Tony, I actually do see that. Dark around the bottom part of the body, but the upper part of the body is white or silver. Okay, Karen is also confirming something that I brought earlier. The cycle is every 12 years of the animal cycle for the Chinese calendar. And it kind of firms up a little closer to what I thought. White lotus star, yes, the base animal cycle. Tala said, yes, I am seeing the one that she spoke of, I just described, and she recognized it as white wolf. Oh, that's lovely. That's just lovely. Like I said, I have a chameleon. Then White Star says, we may have a 12-year cycle, but maybe what they do is represent them with different types of rats or different types of dog or different types of animals. And Tully says, thank you for the confirmation of identifying her white totem as a wolf, but as a white wolf. And then there's a new individual who's come on from the chat room. And what I'm doing, I know there's quite a few people that will be listening tonight who cannot see into the chat room. An individual, and thank you very much for joining us. The name is V-E-E. It's so fun to see a new person come in. What about me, Nancy? Actually, when you first came out, it was very, very interesting. I thought I saw what I would look at as a panther, someone who's dark fur, very not aggressive, but someone who's very hungry for going forward. So I don't know if it's in your work world or in your personal world, but somebody you brought to you to give you personal strength and focus, as though a panther that would be in a hurry to get somewhere or look at it, not a kill, but as a direction. Okay? So the first thing I thought I saw was something very dark and very strong, almost like a panther. Remember, I don't know every animal there is, but if you can identify what I'm looking at or confirm that, I'd be very pleased with that. Okay. So they're still talking in my chat room of the Chinese calendar of the zodiac. The solar cycle is 60 years. And then this person, VE, has just said hello to everyone. V says, actually, my VEE, I mentioned about the appearance of something that looked like a panther. She or he has written back that actually sounds very accurate. Be very curious why that would apply to you at this time. But I do believe that we unconsciously create an animal, if you were thinking of a totem, that would explain the actions or what you're going through now for as long as you need that individual. So that what they're doing is salutations. How many spirits are visiting me tonight? Any messages they bring? That's kind of tough. I do feel like you have three. One of them is a woman. She says she was light-skinned, very light-eyed. And as she got older, her hair got very thin at the top of her head. Unfortunately, as women get older, we don't like knitting it, but some of us, now, I don't notice that to me right now, but say I was 70 or 80 years old, we get very thin-haired. And this individual, this woman says, I was very thin-haired as the older I got. So that woman's behind you. A man that is a bigger person says he's a father figure. Now, messages, right now, that's kind of tough because I'm kind of not focusing real closely. Other than the woman is very sweet. And then Dee has written again, I'm always trying to bring in things and get done as fast as possible. I put a lot of effort into everything I do. So you're very focused. You put a lot of strength into everything. I feel like you may also want to see yourself as a very strong individual and very capable. I don't know if you're very powerful or not. But if there's someone that would be not intimidated or someone that wants people to see them as very capable would bring in a very powerful animal totem. Now, that would not lessen the importance of someone who brought in an owl. An owl would make someone want to think about, am I smart enough, am I capable enough to think this through, am I going to take on a new job, am I going to be a leader, not just the strength but the wisdom of giving to the subjects of my family. So a totem of an owl versus a panther does not lessen the importance of what that individual is going through. Okay, so keep writing in. I appreciate this. Thank you so much, Nancy. It does make a lot of sense to her or him. Thank you very much. Someone had asked me, how in the world can you do an email reading? You know, if I knew that, I would love to share with you. But what I do is I read what you're writing. I look at your name, and it's like I can focus very tightly. I have email people and phone reading people in Germany. And I was telling you, I have people in Singapore and Japan. And for some reason, I can almost feel these people. And there is no space, no distance, and no friction when I combine my life force. So even the young person here, D-E-E, I wonder if that person can relax, or Telly, who's in Canada, when I speak of them, if they can feel me. I will embrace someone around the upper shoulders and the neck area. That's where I believe I enter, to blend with their energy, to fan out to see the spirit people, or to go into what I call time, which is at the base of people's neck. Sybil says, Nancy, for me, a picture helps. It is so clear. I'm not sure what that means, but when I give a visual description, it means that if you visualize a fan from the Orient, Japan, a beautiful fan, you open it up. I actually blend with somebody around the shoulders, and then I, as though to put my arm out and fan around somebody about 6 feet, then I can see the spirit people in that for a visual. Some people say, I feel this person. I have a sense of that person. Well, that means that they're not visually connected, or that person, that's a spirit person, has been a spirit for so long or did not like the visual. They won't give it to you or to me, but give the impression. I was reading somebody, and this individual died of cancer, and it was very wracking of the physicalness. So when the spirit person was trying to tell me what they looked like, they had been in a disease form for so long, they didn't want the family member to see them that way. So sometimes I only see a kind of outline, or I'll see them as younger if they didn't like the physical presence when they died. Very, very interesting. The pictures tell someone a whole story. Sybil, that's a very interesting comment. Possibly the visual of a past life would tell a story. The visual of someone. There was a wonderful story. I'm the queen of stories. I had a lady come to me after she passed, and she had spina bifida. And from the waist down, she was the size of a three-year-old, from the waist up of a woman 5'10". So when she passed, she showed up at my house. I was actually giving a reading to somebody, and I was at my reading area, and the ottoman for the couch, she showed up and stood on it. And she had never walked in life. She either drug herself on the floor, or she had to use very small crutches because her legs were so small in comparison to the rest of the body. And she stood there, and she was just, I'm standing, Nancy, I'm standing, but she was still only 4'3". And she waved her arms about, but she never was able to have real legs, as most of us would understand the fullness of legs, but only what she remembered in life. So it's the same as a long-term illness. We will sometimes forget what we looked like prior to that point of illness, or a past life even as a newly deceased individual. We would not even pull memory from a past life because we're so ingrained still into the physicalness we just left. Sybil is trying to tell about a picture. She's putting a little note here. She might be a reader. I'm sorry, Matt, that I have those who need a reading send me a picture, and that gives me so much information. Just by looking at the picture, I don't know why it is what works for me. Oh, well, I'd love to explain that, Sybil. When I first started in this as a control mechanism, I would hold an object. So for the audience, we're getting off the track of possession, but this is a very interesting topic. For those of us who have always been a reader, born this way, psychometry is a wonderful tool to pick up an object, get the information, put it down. So I started out doing it that way, and when I learned control, I would then go to the individual. Well, after a while, people would start bringing me objects of deceased family members or a picture. Now, what's fascinating about that is if it's a picture of someone in the family, you could find that individual by going into their time to that point. Say you have a picture that's brought to me of a great-great-grandfather. Through your family tree, you can go to that grandfather, to that moment, and read the picture. I have a way I can read a picture from the front, the visual, but then I can turn it over and read the backside of the hidden agenda, which is like fabulous. So Sybil, you got to remember, being a natural like you are, we can blend with time. If you give me a time, like the individual we talked of, Karen, I went back in his time and looked for the bubble of emotional discord or tragedy of when this possession happened. I measure time. I don't even have to know the incident, because the thread that represents emotional tragedy in his life, not that thread that represented his mother and father or his job, but the emotional tragedy, that had a bubble on it. So great-great-grandpa, bring a picture, or the individual, that thread of great-great-grandpa can be accessed through that family line. It's when people come to me and they say, what's my health? I can go through the family and find great-great-grandma and give a visual of what she looks like, because she died of a heart attack. So I went through the, what they call the thread of health. Okay. Okay, now that's exactly what Sybil went. Well, good for you, Sybil. I enjoy photographs. I just received some from Florida of a husband and wife I talked to. The only thing about a photograph, it's like meeting a person for the first time. I can meet somebody, shake hands, it's wonderful, wonderful, but I cannot do a reading unless I blend with them. Sometimes when people have written letters or given me pictures, I can get lost in the picture or the story, but by having just the naked question without seeing what people look like, I sometimes can get a better read. So I really enjoy phone readings, because I can see the person, but the story of them, by not looking at them, can almost be clearer at times. So Sybil, that might be a way for you to do it. When you get the picture, it is of them, keep it in the envelope, see if you can do it that way. When I meet people in person and do the reading, my eyes, when I blend, they go blind looking. People say, ooh, her eyes have shifted. And that's amazing, because then I stop looking at that person, because I blend with them and all I get is the inside. Say you do a reading for somebody and they walk in, and you look at them and you judge them on the way they look. 99% of the time, if I do it on that level, then I won't get a clear reading. I have to disregard what I'm looking at and go into the blending of the spirit or higher self, whatever that you want to call the essence of who we are. Okay, Sybil says, I just helped solve a murder by looking at crime pictures. You know, I used to do that. I don't need the crime pictures as much as what I look for is a connection. Say if I talk to an investigator of the situation, I can go through his investigating and then line up to the incident. In fact, I can watch, I like Nancy Grace, and I can look at the detectives, and they were just talking about some women who disappeared, and I can get pictures in my mind who it could be. So it's the same principle of courting. She does it with a photograph. I do it by the people involved. I solved a murder in Colusa. I didn't solve it. I was participating in it, and the investigation proved that what I told them was correct, because the grandmother connected with me. And through the grandmother's energy, I went to the mother, then to the son who got killed, and I was going back to the day he got murdered. And that was in Northern California some years back. A little boy got beat to death with baseball bats by his buddies. And I was able to tell him the car, who it was, and what the base, and that it was a baseball bat, and they found him in the field, like I said. So she connected with the picture. I connected with the individual connected to the situation. Wow, Karen, very curious question here. Nancy, if there is a divorce, so you in the audience listen to this, this is interesting. If there's a divorce and the relationship was very stressful and one person received the bedroom furniture, is it possible that they could feel the energy of the split spouse? Client claims she cannot sleep in her husband's bed because she feels rage. Is wondering if the energy is still attached to the furniture. Unfortunately, it still is. It's more than just replacing the sheets. You almost have to do a cleansing. Now, I'll give you an example. A house where there's a constant battle in the kitchen, over and over and over. This, the word stalemate. If they went to bed and there was rage in the partners, then the rage energy is still part of the mattress. So moving the mattress would dislodge most of it. What I would be curious about is her inside unconscious rage with him in that bedroom at night in bed would reinfect the mattress. So if she's not emotionally healed from the rage they participated in, whether it was in the bedroom or in the front room, then the bed is reinfected. Unfortunately, replacing the furniture would be possibly the only healing. Mattress would not necessarily be the culprit, but the reminder of looking at the furniture and the discord that happened in that bedroom would reinfect the bed. That's why she may not be able to sleep. So Karen, let her know that. And Silva says, that's why I don't purchase antiques. Well, aho. And Telly said, I agree. That's an interesting thought. I did purchase a chair. And I was looking for a chair that reminded me of one of the old secretary chairs that had wheels that you would see of an accountant many years ago. Because I have a love for that, and you can appreciate where I came from. I love numbers. Might have been a past life as a man during the century did numbers. I don't know. But because I love the chair and that perfect find, in quotes, I put love into it. Now, if there had been discord, unhappy with the chair, the person felt 12-hour days, 15-hour days, I'm unhappy. My overzealous love for finding the chair, I'm going to sand it, I'm going to re-antique it or make it virtually brand new. I'm flooding it with love of excitement because I love a hard wooden chair. So it, I guess sometimes it needs to be approached as a cleansing, a cleaning action, okay? And B says, that must be totally clean. I was a sailor. Karen says, salt on the mattress? Question mark. Fear people speak to me of not having a sense of smoke and salt, but the individual that you would put the salt, say your client, she sees you witnessing putting a salt on the bed, and that you believe it will cleanse the bed, will help her release the anxiety and stress that she feels toward the mattress and will believe it to be gone. So when then she goes back to the bed, she will disregard and release the stress of what she went through, but her healing may not be complete if every time she looks at the headboard or the dresser, and that re-triggers it. So we have to figure out how to get her to say, the furniture had nothing to do with the relationship, but only the memory of it, so don't have those memories in that room. That would be the hard time. If you go and replace the mattress, would she then be reminded by lying on the mattress of the husband who had the rage that would reinfect the bed with her rage? Okay, and Sybil says, a great thought, Nancy. I share with everybody, Sybil, if this helps you in your practice, please go ahead and use my words. But I believe our minds are so powerful. Deepak Chakra said, and I don't have the words, so I'll paraphrase it. As you think, it's so shall you become, from the top of your head all the way to your toe. So if your heart is hurting from a relationship, your whole body hurts. If you have rage in your mind and your heart for somebody or something that rages through your body, it can contaminate anything that you participate in on a regular basis. If people get in a car and they're always in rage when they're on the freeway, do they take that rage even while going to the grocery store? Because the car is full of the rage from the freeway. Wow, that's a powerful thought. Why do people always only have rage when they're driving in the car? Haven't you heard that before, how we have accidents so readily, but then when we're walking in a grocery store with a cart, you have the same rage, you're still driving. Sybil, that's something to think about. And so you people listening tonight, that would be a consideration, that if you were rage episodes in the car, are you taking that anywhere you have that mechanism of driving? I've been putting mood music into my car, cassette, listening to not meditation music, but mood music, And I find that that's very relaxful. So when you could change vibration while you're driving, if someone else is in a rage, they cannot contaminate your car by focusing and directing their rage at you, because you put a light, a bubble of serenity, not to put you asleep, but to change your vibration, not to pay attention to someone who's in rage next to you. Sybil said, very true, we're all made up of energy that can surround us and those who are around us. Absolutely. People can be contaminated by you, by your rage. And so you may walk by somebody, as I said, protect yourself. Do I do it every time I go to the grocery store or the movies or to the mall? When you come to where I am, unfortunately, I have to continually think of it. That's why living in the country like I have, or living in a neighborhood where people are not in distress of everyday life, is easier on my essence because I'm not being bombarded. So I went to visit my mother, 3.5-hour flight, stressful. Had to constantly think about, I listened to tapes and read a book, constantly distract myself so I wouldn't pay attention to people in the airplane. We have to radiate positive energy. Yes, absolutely, Sybil. It's a constant tiring mechanism. But I have found that if you create a positive thought and try to think of your way of being that way, you don't have to think it, you believe it, and it becomes so. So it's a reinforcement. It takes 3 weeks to start a pattern. It takes 3 months to stop a pattern. So sometimes just the actions of creating can be continued if you believe it so. Kelly, thank you very much for the show. Thank you. Boy, we're almost 1 minute left. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. I'll listen to look at the chat room. If you have anything else you would like to finish for the night or for next week, give me 1 minute left to email at nancy@nancymats.com. All right, everybody. Love and light to you too, Sybil. Good night, everybody.
Blog Talk Radio.